Thanks again for singing with us, and Joe, for your work to put that together. In just a few moments, we are going to join together to eat some bread and drink some juice of or wine or some other drink for communion, or as it's called in some traditions, the Eucharist. As we eat and drink together, we participate in a community thanksgiving, which is what Eucharist means, a community thanksgiving to God for the life he gives us. Many of us know the story about how this practice was initiated. It began at an early Passover meal, early in the sense of it was early in the Passover time of the year. And Jesus was eating with his disciples. It was the night that he was betrayed by Judas and the day before he was crucified. Jesus took bread and he broke it, passing it out to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I am sure that his disciples were incredibly confused. How was this bread his broken body? And why were they remembering him? He was sitting right there with them. And then Jesus took a cup of wine, which he had passed around the table earlier to share with his disciples. And so they each had some of this wine, and he picked it up. And as he drank from it, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Another symbol, and I'm sure more confusion from his disciples. But from what we can read, their confusion doesn't last. It's not that it goes away. They just get distracted by other conversations and other things. Growing up, I always wondered how and why Jesus' disciples seemed to miss what Jesus was saying and doing here. For me, communion was always a very formal and serious and quiet occasion at the end of a church service where all the church leaders, the men in their suits, would go to the front of our auditorium and they would work together to pass out crackers and tiny cups of Welch's grape juice. The pastor would read the words of Jesus, quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, and we would eat and drink together in a way where these words of Jesus were central. How could the disciples have possibly missed it? Until I realized that Jesus didn't break bread at the end of a church service in a quiet, calm environment. In fact, our common way of celebrating communion would have been completely foreign to Jesus and his disciples. These symbols were initiated during a Passover celebration, a huge meal filled with conversation and filled with symbolism that already existed. I imagine the disciples hearing these confusing words of Jesus, pausing for a minute and then thinking, okay, the bread's good and all, but could someone please pass the chicken and the matzo ball soup, please? And they were used to Jesus breaking bread. If you read through the Gospels, Jesus and meals kind of go together. He is regularly gathering around tables in people's homes, and where a table doesn't exist, he creates one for 4,000 men in one sitting and 5,000 in another. What's perhaps the strange thing is not that the disciples missed out on the significance of what Jesus said, but rather the way in which we tend to celebrate communion, detached from everything else. I'm not saying this to critique the way we do it, but rather to prompt us to think about the whole reality of breaking bread and what it could mean if we look a little more closely at the way of Jesus. To help us dive into that, I'm going to read a number of verses from Luke chapter 24. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Let me just start at verse 1 of Luke 24. If you want to follow along, I encourage you to read your Bible or open the app that has it and follow along. Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, I'm going to start at verse 13. Verse 13. Now on the same day, two of the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 70 miles from Jerusalem. When I say disciples, I don't mean his 12 closest. He had a bunch of disciples. These were some who had been following him. These two were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. who was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He, that's Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slowly you believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And he began with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us?" They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. On the heels of the Passover, these two men who had been in Jerusalem, men who had been convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, they're walking home to Emmaus. The weight of the disappointment around Jesus' death and burial is overwhelming them. They've heard claims of this resurrection, but so far, they have no evidence that would overwhelm their grief. While they're talking, a man joins them. After hearing them explain all they have seen and heard, this man begins to explain the scriptures to them in a way they have never heard before. He's clearly a well-studied rabbi, and they're enjoying the conversation, so when they get to their destination, they invite this stranger to stay with them. He joins them for a meal, and as they sit, he takes the bread that is served and gives thanks and breaks it and begins to share with them. It's at this moment, the moment of breaking the bread and sharing it, that they recognize Jesus. And then he disappears, and they run back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that they've seen Jesus, and they recognized him, they said, when he broke the bread. I find this story fascinating. Jesus walked with them for what would have been a couple of hours. He spent time teaching them and unpacking scripture to them. Before the meal, he gave thanks, but it wasn't until the breaking of bread where they recognized him. I find this so significant and so powerful, especially as someone who loves to teach and who works and lives in a Western church world where teaching is seen as central to our gatherings. The teaching Jesus gave was significant. When they look back at it and say, weren't our hearts strangely warmed by that? But that wasn't where Jesus was clearly recognized. It was in the breaking and sharing of the bread. It was around the table offering provision and life to others where they saw him clearly. This act of breaking bread and sharing a life-giving meal together wasn't merely a social grace for Jesus. It was central to his ministry. It was at meals where Jesus showed God's love for the outcasts and the sinners. It was at meals where Jesus showed his care for the hungry. It was at meals where Zacchaeus discovered the heart of God. It was at a meal where Jesus was symbolically prepared for his death and burial when a woman poured expensive oil on him. It was at a meal where he modeled humility, becoming like a servant to wash the disciples' feet. And so it is at a meal we remember him and the sacrifice he made for us. Although we don't have all the trappings of a meal in front of us, I'd like us to invite us to participate in this meal together. While it doesn't look like the First Communion, there are still several things I love about eating and drinking together in this way. Just two of them for now. The first is that however we share in this meal, whatever it looks like, by doing this, we're symbolically receiving from Christ what he shared with his disciples, his first disciples, so long ago. In eating and drinking, we're connecting with the life of Jesus traced down through his followers for over 2,000 years. We're participating with them in this meal Jesus initiated. I love that. A second thing I love about communion is that we join Jesus in passing it out. The sharing of this meal is an act of invitation to all who will come to him, the one who is the bread of life, in order to receive what only Jesus can offer. The breaking of bread for Jesus wasn't something to guard people from. It was something he did with everyone who would come. The stories he told were all about inviting people to the banquet table. And so this morning, as we eat and drink, we extend that invitation. Come to the table and participate in the life of Christ that he readily and freely makes available to each one of you. I'm going to give thanks for the bread and for the cup, and then we will eat and drink together. God, in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus, we gather with bread and with a drink, and we say thank you. Thank you for the symbolism of what we are about to participate in. Thank you that we are a part of 2,000 plus years of history of people giving thanks for the love of Jesus and embracing the life that he offers through his sacrifice on the cross. God, I just thank you so much that we can do this together, even though we are not in the same space, and ask that this reminder, this act, would be something that draws us together, even when we are distant. If this can draw us together with people through 2,000 years of history and through Christians around the world, surely it can draw us together as a family spread out around this space and this place. God, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the cup, and we thank you for the blood shed, so that we can know that we have life and life to the full. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us eat and drink together. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink. Raise a glass together. Amen. Normally on Communion Sundays, when we're gathered together, we do take up a community care offering. And obviously we can't pass separate plates, but we do have, if you click on the give link on our website, or if you text give, there is an option to designate money to our community care fund. So I just want you to be aware of that. But before we wrap up, I want to highlight one more thing about breaking bread that we see in the life of Jesus. On the heels of breaking bread with the two men that were from Emmaus, Jesus appears to his disciples. This is, if we continued in Luke chapter 24, this is the part that comes next. Jesus appears to his disciples. He appears to them and he seeks to put their mind at ease, but then he asks them for some food. And they give him some fish and he eats it in their presence. But notice that this time it's not him giving the food out. He's prompting them to do so. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the disciples, following the resurrection, go out fishing, and they have a long and unsuccessful night. Early in the morning, Jesus shows up on the shore and calls out to them. They don't know it's him yet. He calls out to them to cast their nets to the other side of the boat. They do so, and they get this huge haul of fish, much the same as when some of them first met Jesus. Peter immediately recognizes that it's Jesus and jumps out of the boat to swim and run to Jesus while the other disciples pull the fish in. Once on shore, they see that Jesus has started a fire with fish and bread over it, and Jesus invites the disciples to bring over some of the fish that they have just caught. Here, they're participating in the sharing of the meal with Jesus. When you get to the life of the early church, we read that the sharing of food was so important to them that in Acts 6, the first people chosen to help lead the church alongside the apostles who had been chosen by Jesus, the first people chosen to help lead the church were deacons. And what were the deacons supposed to do? They were supposed to make sure people weren't being neglected when the food was distributed. They were there to pass food out to those who needed it. As we eat and drink in the way of Jesus, we don't just look back and remember. The way of Jesus is to continue breaking bread, showing hospitality and generosity as a means of inviting others to his table and sharing his life with others. I know that the time we live in is strange. The days we're going through are odd, and we can't have people over to our homes or share a meal together in a traditional way. But is there a way you can creatively share a meal with someone? And is there a way you can creatively break the bread and pass it to someone who needs to know that they are welcomed at Jesus' table, that he loves them? I would like to invite you to think creatively about these ideas this week and act on them. So again, the first is, how can you creatively share a meal together with someone this week? You know, maybe it's through connecting over a meal virtually, using a video call and eating together. Or perhaps it's through preparing a meal for both yourself and some friends and delivering their portion for them to enjoy. Or you could just arrange to get takeout from the same place one night. I invite you to think creatively about how you could share a meal together with someone this week. And secondly, how could you pass bread onto someone who needs to know they are welcomed at Jesus' table? Jesus shares his food with those who are hungry and in need, and he invites us to do the same. How can you do that this week? We have food banks in Penetang and Midland that are still very much in need, and they're probably going to be more needed in coming weeks and months. They're going to need donations of both money and food. There's a deacon's cupboard outside All Saints Anglican Church in Penetang where you could drop off perishable food items that those in need can then help themselves to. There's lots of agencies around the world that are sharing food with those in need that need assistance. Or again, maybe there's somebody personally you know that would be encouraged by a meal that you could share with them. I invite you to not only eat bread and drink wine this morning, but also to consider how you can carry forward the way of Jesus by breaking bread with and distributing it to others this week. Finally, though, a word for those of you who are simply hungry. Jesus invites you to the table. He wants to provide for you. If you have a need, please let us know. We have people who are ready to serve and assist you. You can send us an email to help@covenantchurch.ca or just text the church phone number so that we can know of your need and can come alongside you well as the hands and feet of Jesus. Communion isn't just something we do once a month. It's a way of living together in the way of Jesus every day, receiving and sharing his love, his grace, his mercy, his hospitality, and yes, his gift of food together. Let's pray. God, I thank you again for this gift of food, both spiritual and physical. Help us to be a people who receive it and share it well. That people, as they see us breaking bread, would be able to see the heart of Christ. God, I just thank you for your presence among us this morning. And I just ask that you would speak to us even as we sing together this last song. In Jesus' name, amen.